finished up a good open week and glad to be back in action this week. Eastern Michigan coming to town, going to be a test for us, something we need to step up and make sure we're ready to play. And we're looking forward to getting back in action. Questions?
Does that win over Ole Miss look any better to you now based on the way they played the Gators?
Well, you know, they played very, very well against Florida, but, you know, the Ole Miss game is over. You know, we're trying to move on and go on to other things, and all of our attention is to Eastern Michigan now. But it just goes to show you in the SEC, there are a lot of good teams, a lot of good players, and sometimes, you know, players make plays and keeps you in a game or, you know, puts you in a position to win. And certainly Mississippi did a great job of doing that against Florida.
Coach, you got out of playing two MAC teams this year. You played Temple last year. I think it was supposed to have been Kent State originally. You've got a couple more MAC games in the next 3 years. What is the relationship between you all and the MAC, or how has that come about?
Well, there's been all kind of schedule changes with that agreement, and I think we were working it out. And to tell you the truth, I think with Miami of Ohio, you know, they came to our aid this year because of overbooking in the MAC, and so we're going to go up there next year for a return game to get that contract finished. So, you know, but it's a good matchup, I think. They're 1A teams, had an outstanding history. You know, a bunch of their teams, you know, play well all across the country. So I think it's a pretty natural thing to do at a conference instead of just an automatically looking at a 1AA team or anybody. I mean, they're fine programs up there, and it gives us a chance to go out of the region and play somebody different and get a little different look.
Is it a little odd to go to the same conference for two non-conference games when
you're good? No, I mean, I don't know. And it just works out that way. But I don't, you know, the ACC and, you know, we went Wake Forest and Duke, and Duke, Wake Forest again this year, and then Duke again the next year. That was a sort of an agreement. We were looking to go into the ACC. I think the MAC thing just sort of worked out.
Well, I'd like to hear that Mac mentioned as an underrated or underappreciated league. Is it among the coaches, this is yourself, is it kind of respected?
Oh, yeah, very well respected. I mean, you look at some of the huge upsets they've had over the years, and we wouldn't consider them upsets, but the year that Miami of Ohio had with Roethlisberger and all those guys, and I think Northern Illinois has been really good a couple years, and you know, Akron had a run. You know, they've got some very good teams, and, you know, there's a lot of good high school football up in that area. So there's a lot of players to choose from, and they recruit very well in a hotbed of high school football.
Does it also help to get for y'all to get into that area?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it'll help us. We've recruited Ohio since we've been here. Been in Indiana a good bit. Illinois, we've more presence in the Chicago area now. We're probably concentrating a little bit more on the cities and instead of the outlying areas in the state. So, sure, it'll help us.
Coach, let me ask you about Eastern's quarterback, Andy Schmidt, 6'4", 230, big kid, red hot. What have you seen in him on tape?
Well, he does a good job running their offense. You know, not only does he throw, but he can run the football. They have a pretty much similar philosophy on offense that we do. You know, spread it out a little bit, run some zone reads, throw the ball off of play action, throw the ball, drop back, and he's done a great job. Threw four touchdown passes last week against Howard. So, you know, obviously, you know, when you got those big guys who can stand in the pocket and mobile enough to run, you know, you got your pretty good weapon there.
You sort of call it an off week, you know, what you just had, but it's not an off week at all, is it?
No, it's not. You know, we practiced, I thought, had three very good practice for an off week, you know, last week, and Also, our coaches were able to get out Thursday and Friday and do some recruiting, which helps this time of the year. And it gave us a chance to examine not only, you know, what Eastern Michigan does, but sort of grade what we've been doing so far this year and give us a chance to look at ourselves. So I thought it was a productive week for us, and but we're glad to get in. You always like an off week until you get to Saturday, and then you wish you were playing. And then, you know, sit there and watch. There were some great games to watch on TV, and I think I OD'd on college football Saturday. It was fun.
You thinking you were in the wrong business, Mike?
No. No. I think we're in the right business.
It's one thing to, I imagine it's one thing to dream up a fake field goal that LSU pulled off. It's probably a whole other to actually try it during the game.
That was a good play. That was pretty shocking. I've seen that play before, though. Not behind the back, but they sort of flipped it from the side. But gotta say, perfect execution. Perfect.
How inclined are you as a coach to ever try a no-look kind of thing like that?
Not very inclined. Not inclined.
Did you sort of realize?
Yeah, if he had thrown that about a foot one way or the other, you know, they, wow, what dummies everybody would be saying.
Did last year sort of make you realize the importance of having a bye week at some point during the season where you played 12 games?
Sure did. That was tough. By the time we got to about the 9th, 10th game of the season, we were pretty much worn out. And you know, if you have any kind of significant injuries that are figuring in there, you know, it's just pretty tough to play 12 straight games. But you know, this was almost exactly halfway in counting preseason practice and the games we have remaining and the open week. Is pretty close to being halfway during the season, so I thought it was a very good time to have an open week.
What did the time off mean for Chris?
Hopefully get completely well and you know, don't even have to think about injuries anymore. And you know, but she doesn't. I mean, Chris, you know, he wants to practice every day. You know, Coach Kaiser made a very good comment this morning. He said, Chris thinks work fixes everything. So he's going to go out, and if he's hurt, he wants to work through it and try to get better at, while he's healing up. So sometimes you have to tell him, you know, you got to sit out today. But it helped him, I think, and it also helps him sort of sit back and look at the offense while we're at practice and see the big picture instead of just concentrate on a certain read.
Coach, now that you've got the largest chunk of this four-game home stand to open the season out of the way, can you kind of talk about what you had hoped to accomplish through it and how you feel like that is going to be?
Well, we hope to win them all. And, you know, we certainly, you know, thought and think they were all winnable, you know, but when you have to execute and play the games, you know, you can see that anything can happen. So we'll evaluate everything after the season. I don't look back and say we should have done this, we should have done that. We just try to look forward and move on and go to the next game and put all of our attention there. And we haven't divided up the season into mini seasons or anything like that. We, believe it or not, try to go week by week. Well, I know y'all haven't heard that before. But,
Patrick Benoit's back on the TV. Can you talk about him and Jeff and their injuries last week? They're just trying to get back.
Yeah, they're trying to get back. We'll see. I mean, we don't know yet. Well, always in this league, you got to get you know, a pass rush, whether it's with your four down people or you bring in five or six. You know, it's just a prerequisite of playing in this league. I mean, you can't sit back and give these guys time to throw. But you got to mix it up. You just can't be pass rush happy, and you know that opens you up for other things. So right now, I think we got a pretty good mix going. I think Coach Fowler's doing a good job mixing some of the zone pressures and some of the man pressures up, and we're getting some rush with our four guys. And you know, I think with Broderick Stewart and Curtis Gatewood, we got two pretty fast ends right there that are hard to hem up sometimes. And our inside guys are doing a good job too of putting pressure, but also taking up blockers. Well, if the weather was all the same, if the weather was cool, yeah, I would prefer a 11:30 or a 1 o'clock game over 6 o'clock. You just or 7 o'clock, because there's just so much waiting the day of the game, and I think you just get a little, you know, anxious, you get a little stale. But if it's 95 degrees, you know, in September, in you know, late September, and it's been that way here the last couple of days, I'd much rather play at 6 o'clock. You know, it's worth the wait. I think both teams benefit from it. You know, nobody has the depth advantage, you know, that you would at 11:30, you know, if it's really hot. So it's just a matter of weather. And as the season goes on and it gets cooler and the days get shorter, I'd rather play a day game.
Bobby, you mentioned watching football this weekend. When you look at Kentucky winning, I think, 9 of its last 10 games, what Wake Forest did last year. You see schools doing the kinds of things those two specifically have done. Does that give you guys a little more maybe inspiration or hope that something that maybe the door's a little more open in college football now than...
Well, I think that's true. I mean, we don't sit around and discuss, you know, other teams' good fortune or bad fortune or anything like that. But, you know, it just goes to show you, you know, to me, it's a bigger statement than, you know, you got to play every play as well as you can do it, and you got to avoid mistakes. Arkansas, when Kentucky missed that field goal, the game was over. And they roughed the kicker and allowed Kentucky to get back in it. So, you know, every play counts. Every play is huge. And, you know, do what you're supposed to do. And I'm sure they didn't send both of those guys in there to rush the kicker at the same time and collide and then rough the kicker. So everything counts.
Is the game, though, because of maybe the 85 scholarship limit, more teams can get into the mix now?
Sure, I think it is. I think that, you know, offenses changes over the years. Now people spread out. You can match up a little better. They allow you to hold on offense now. So, you know, those big guys, you know, don't dominate offenses anymore. Those, you know, you try to, you know, look at the defensive line you have today and try to figure out trying to block them like that. And that's how you used to have to block. And then they let you get in there and within the framework of the body, and then now it's up to another level, in my opinion. But, you know, it gives you everybody a chance. So, you know, the 85 scholarships, the rule changes, you know, the development of the spread offense, you know, change things, yes.
Do you think it's inevitable that defense will catch up? Is this the last 10 years of college football sort of been an explosion? Basically every NCAA record for offense has been set in the last 10 years. Do you think it's just cyclical and it'll come back around to where defense to figure this out?
Well, I think they've, you know, it's not a matter of figuring it out. I think they figured it out. It's just a matter of, you know, do you match up with the other team? And, you know, if you got strengths where they have strengths or vice versa, you know, that's why we're playing the games, and that's why you see some unusual things. Not that strange anymore, but traditionally you see some things that go against, you know, what you would expect. But, you know, that's why the game is so great. I mean, it's unpredictable. Anything can happen. I don't think that can, you know, goes in the NFL. You know, I think everybody's pretty close, and just whoever drops a pass or does this or that, it's going to make a big difference there. But you can get some great, great matchups in college football now. And, you know, I was looking at on Saturday, and I was looking at those stadiums, and, you know, people are jacked up about college football right now. It's great.
Change the way you recruit, though, for those matchup things. Just, this is how offenses are playing now. We need to recruit this
way. Yeah, I think we've changed a little bit. We try to get faster on defense. We've got smaller defensive ends right now. We've got probably smaller linebackers, but they're probably faster than what we've had before. And you got to get people who are able to blitz from a linebacker position, a defensive back position. You got to have defensive linemen who can drop into coverage. You got to have some people on offense who can, you know, put pressure on defenses by themselves. So it's just changing.
Coach, you talked about offensive line play. The way you all ran the ball against Ole Miss, what was different from the previous two games?
Well, you know, I think as you practice more and you see the mistakes you make in the first two games, you try to get them corrected. I think Coach Caldwell did a fantastic job really concentrating on what we had to do with the offensive line to get those kind of holes for our backs, and our backs ran extremely hard. And we also had a quarterback who was healthy who could put pressure on them throwing the football, so they had to defend both. If you're just going to sit there and, you know, we couldn't throw it against Alabama very well because, you know, Chris was hurt, and you're just not going to line up and run it and run it and run it against them and be successful. So you got to have both threats, or I think every game. You got to have them working every game, and you're going to be hard-pressed to win.
Is that kind of a running game and the performance from the offensive line that you all expect every week out?
Sure. Or even better. You know, it just sets up everything. If you can run that stretch play and then you can run the bootleg off of it or some kind of play action pass or screen off of it, you know, it just makes you much more difficult to defend by the opposing team's defense. So, you know, you're just helping yourself when you execute both the run and the pass.
Longest stretch in your coaching career where you started the season
all
you may not know that, but
it's got to be, I think, four games in 5 weeks. No other place.
Do you like that? I mean,
life
like that? Because
you kind of like ready for you to kind of get kind of personal. I don't know. Obviously, I like playing at home. I mean, it's a lot easier. You don't have to travel. You don't have to, you know, deal with all that other stuff. We got a great situation here because we stay right near the stadium, and we don't have to take a bus anywhere. It's just extremely convenient. But, you know, we're not afraid to travel. In fact, you know, I think our guys kind of like it. And you go see other great stadiums, and the atmosphere you get in the SEC, I think, is extremely fun. You know, just seeing other cities, driving through them, you know, it's fun to me. I don't know if, you know, those guys are playing video games or something like that. I don't know, but, you know, I like it.
Coach, when did it become in vogue to start staying Friday night evening for home games?
I think back in the 70s. You know, I was at Clemson. We used to go off campus way back then. So, yeah, I think that's been going on a long, long time.
What do you see as the advantage of
them? Well, you got them all in a place where you can have access to them. You can have meetings. You know what activities they're doing. And especially for us, it's so close. We can actually walk back over here and have meetings in our meeting rooms and then, you know, go back and have dinner at the Marriott or whatever we want to do. We're very flexible here. It's the best situation I've ever been in.
One or two more questions?
Have you checked out Earl's website, mynameisearlbennett.com?
No, I haven't.
That's going to be new for a coach to deal with.
Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, well, the internet, all kind of stuff is new with there. So, you know, some good, some bad. But anybody's earned a website, it's probably Earl.
Coach, I think two of your true freshmen have played so far this year. Is that a good thing that you've been able to hold the rest of those guys? Is it a bad thing that more of them haven't themselves in position?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think when you can recruit consistently over a period of time, you know, it ought to be hard for a freshman to break in unless he's, you know, at a position that's had an injury or somebody's left or whatever. But, you know, we still got 9 games to go, so we're not afraid to keep it open. We'll probably have some more freshmen playing before it's all over. And, you know, that would be a nice, you know, freshman season if you play in 9 games or even 8 or 7. So we haven't said everybody that hadn't played is going to be redshirted. There's still some guys who are fighting for playing time.
Anybody you care about?
Not right now.
One more question?
Thank you.